Radio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck up!
War Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
And Mace.
And if anyone disagrees with me, I'll open a can of the ass, we pump a mud pie, eat some low-fat frozen yogurt, and back to bottom line.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what your thoughts on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane, that's got two words for you.
To the Raw Post Show live right here on the Raw Talk Radio Network, presented by TweakedAudio.com. I am, of course, a Rockin', joined, as always, by Lindsay Ward.
Poor and, Rock.
And for the final time, Mace.
Yes, I am here.
Mace is here, but totally didn't watch Raw.
I'm here, but totally not listening half time.
So, another week of Raw, basically, for you, then.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm trying to listen to you and friend at the same time, sir.
Yeah, I understand.
So, something's got to give.
Yeah. He's already left the network, folks. He's already ended in his resignation. He's gone. He's just phoning it in right now.
Yeah. What is it, going through the motions? Everybody take a shot?
Oh, what an interesting night this has been. Last time they've lost this many games has been since 1994 in a row.
In case you haven't noticed, folks, Rock is reeling from the tragic loss of the Philadelphia Eagles.
At least the only thing I can take out of it is they played well, kind of.
You know, they went out there for the bits that I saw, at least in the first half, and it looked like they had a fire under their ass. It looked like they were going to go out there, and it's like, okay, we've got something to prove. And I'll be damned if they didn't try to prove it. Unfortunately, it backfired on them, and they just couldn't get anything going.
Hey, we scored a touchdown this week. That's an improvement. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Monday Night Raw came to us from, you know, where were they tonight?
Lafayette.
If you notice on the screen, they didn't say where they were. They said they were at the Cajun Dome. Too small of a city? I think so, for WWE standards, at least Vince McMahon standards. But Raw opened with Ryback taking on Titus O'Neil.
Not the best of openers, but...
Why did you open with the shaved gorilla? Why, for the love of all that is holy?
Because that's what they like to do lately.
Because they wanted to get him out of the way early.
But I don't want to see something stupid like the shaved gorilla on my TV that early.
But
I do not like the shaved gorilla. I do not like it, like these green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am.
Good one. But yeah, Ryback beat Titus O'Neil. It was better than the Tensai match.
This is true.
And what's his face?
Anything's better than the Tensai match.
And what's his face? Darren Young got knocked off the apron and his pick fell out of his hair.
Got hit so hard the pick went a-flying.
It did. It really did.
At least I can say this about this match, is it made both Titus and Ryback look somewhat credible, because they're both of equal size, they're both of equal strength. So it actually looked like two titans going at it, even if Ryback can't wrestle worse shit, and Titus is just so-so.
Yeah. It's better than the one they hit, the guys had on SmackDown.
Yeah, and it's...
At least we didn't have to hear that fucking whistle!
There we go. But we got the dog bark.
Eh.
But, I mean, at least
the dog bark, you can mentally block out. That whistle, you can't.
Yeah, I know. And at least for Ryback, this win is impressive. Somewhat. Although I have to frown at the fact that WWE is slowly killing the tag division one show at a time.
Yeah,
which
I
makes
noticed,
me have a sad.
I noticed that. I have issues that will be brought up later. Which will make you has a happy, sir.
Okay. We get a mace rant? One last mace rant?
Well, yeah, why not? Let's call it that for now.
Sweet!
After the match, Ryback took the microphone and says he wants CM Punk, the three outsiders dressed in black, or all four of them. He's going to still stand in this ring until he gets what he wants.
You know what, Ryback? I want CM Punk too, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get him, so just deal with it.
You know Ryback? I want you off my television. It's not going to happen since you're holding the show hostage. Go fuck yourself.
And of course, there's the classic euphemism, or whatever you want to call it. People in hell want ice water doesn't mean they're going to get it.
Those poor people in hell. They are so dehydrated. Get them some water, damn it.
And by the way, their vote doesn't count? I think not. But we'll get to that later.
We'll get to that. After the break, Ryback's still in the ring, leading the crowd in a Feed Me More chant. We had yellow security come out and trying to get him out of the ring. One guy got tossed out of the ring. Vicky Guerrero came out and she's a very understanding person, knows he feels robbed of the WWE Championship, but she won't allow him to manhandle security or take the show hostage. Ryback says he wants Punk at TLC and won't go anywhere until he gets it. Vicky used the Vince McMahon line of, in the interest of fairness, she'll give Ryback his match against Punk, but she asked him to please leave the ring. Ryback told her to shut up, and then Ryback said he wasn't finished speaking. He said he wants Punk in a tables, ladders, and chairs match at TLC.
And thank God I'm not watching the pay-per-view.
Vicky agreed to this match, so we will get a TLC match between Punk and Ryback at the pay-per-view. Security stared at Ryback, he scared him off, and that's how the segment ended.
You know, security came out really ill-prepared for this segment. If they had just each brought a Subway sandwich with them and, like, lured him out of the ring, this all could have been avoided.
Let's see Ryback versus Jared.
Oh, poor right, Jared. He would die.
Hey, at least he'd be slim.
He still is slim.
Well, he'll be slimmer. He'll be as flat as a 2D pitcher.
So he'll be flat Jared?
Anyway, as you can tell, I really don't give a flying fuck about the final Raw.
I'm sorry. I was listening.
Why? What happened, Rock?
I was listening to Andy Reid talk about his job security.
Job security? He doesn't have job security. He's lost 7 straight games. He's fucked.
He said him and Jeffrey Lurie haven't talked about it. Right. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, shit.
It's funny watching him lie through his teeth. It's awesome. Anyway, moving along to what was a weird moment. Hornswoggle was backstage with Rosa Mendez. She wanted some sort of apology. Apparently there's a thing called Swoggled, which what Hornswoggle did last week. They basically questioned who would want to kiss Rosa. Apparently it's Alberto Del Rio. They had a little exchange, and, well, Great Khali showed up. Yay.
No Khali kiss cam.
Though I have a feeling it's going to come soon.
Although it was kind of adorable when Khali stopped Del Rio and he's like, "Don't touch my friend!" Like, aww.
The giant has a friend and it's a midget.
Yes, the giant and the midget. Hornswoggle comes up to Kali's knee.
Isn't it the way it's supposed to go? Didn't they make movies about this shit?
I think so.
You know what? All they need is a Sicilian and they're set. But they may have to take a Mexican.
Oh, so we got Del Rio versus Khali.
A 5-star match if I ever heard one.
Match of the
Wait,
year.
Wait, we're going in negatives, right?
Match of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Although I will say that is the fastest undress job by Alberto Del Rio ever, seeing as he was in a suit backstage like 5 minutes beforehand.
Yeah, he got one of the Brutus Clay tear-off deals.
No. They said it was earlier in the day.
Oh, okay. I missed that part.
Yes, I just looked back up in the recap. Said footage from earlier in the day. So they had a match, and it sucked. Del Rio won, of course.
No surprise there.
Backstage, CM Punk and Paul Heyman approached Vicky Guerrero and complained about her giving Ryback the title shot at TLC. Punk said that he's 2-0 against Ryback, and now she's putting him in danger. Heyman interjected and suggested Vicky's head isn't clear due to the AJ and Cena scandal. Heyman said Vicky's biased against John Cena, and thus she's also biased towards CM Punk to eat out. She got upset and said she gave Ryback the rematch because of what happened at Hell in a Cell with Brad Maddox and what happened in Survivor Series with Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns. Punk says he has nothing to do with those three. Vicky said Punk would face the winner of a poll later in the night, which are the options of Kane and Daniel Bryan.
How Yay. Very blue state, red state of them.
And we got polling 101 later, but we'll get there. Then we got a really interesting promo conducted by Michael Cole, where he interviewed Ambrose, Rollins, and Reigns. And I thought this was a really good promo about these three.
And it doesn't matter if you missed it this time, they replay it 4 times tonight.
No, I thought they only replayed it once.
I was exaggerating, Rock.
But they were good with the replays tonight. They made them mean something.
Yeah, I will say this. This segment in particular made me happy, just because all three of these guys, or at least two out of the three, can talk, and they let them talk.
And for the one guy who can't, Reigns, they limited him to few words.
Yeah, he's a man of few words, which is perfect for him. And they gave them the chance to really put themselves over and put the gimmick over, and that's what they need.
Correct.
And it continues the storyline. Even though the name is stupid as fuck, it continues the characters and makes them more interesting to watch, where suppose they're just these guys who are running in and helping CM Punk. They actually kind of sort of explain themselves a little bit.
Right. The question was asked, do they work for Punk? He says, nope. Did Ambrose. Rollins said that the questions should be asked. He said they said they sat down next to him and saw things clearly, but they said the board of directors answers to the WWE Universe, and thus it became a popularity contest. He said they stepped in and righted those wrongs. Michael, we are the shield from injustice in WWE. Rollins said, Cole noted that everything they've done has benefited Punk. Ambrose said it's about right and wrong. He said if Punk was, he said Punk was forced to defend the title in a triple threat match against two men he already defeated. He said they would have done the same thing if it was Ryback or Cena in Punk's place, just as they would have stepped up, the attack last week as well. Cole said asked Roman Reigns for his thought. When I want to say something, I'll say it, he said. Ambrose then said, they are not the Nexus or the NWO. We are about principle. We are about honor. Which I thought was a good line.
Yeah, it was a good line.
Taking shots at people calling them, you know, robustus, other things. We are a shield from injustice. We are the shield. And that's how the interview ended when Reigns said the interview is over.
We are the shield of justice. So they're gonna put on stupid masks and have capes now?
No, they're gonna be led by Nick Fury.
No, I'd better. Be fine with that. I would be fine with that.
Agent Coulson.
Fuck Earth. Agent Coulson, damn right.
Somebody get Agent Coulson in here.
Up next, we have Alicia Fox versus Tamina.
Damn, Tamina needs some new gear. Fuck.
Yeah, she does. Because that color's not for her.
Girl, if you want me to take you as a badass, I can't do it with you looking like Rainbow Bright. I just really can't.
Wow, really pulling out the obscure references, Lynn.
What do you mean an obscure reference?
How many people listening to this besides me, you, Omega, and Rock would actually remember Rainbow Bright?
Hey, you know what? I dressed up as Rainbow Bright for Halloween when I was like 6.
Yeah, but that was when you were 6.
And I watched Rainbow Bright and the Star Stealer last month, so just shut up. Best cartoon character ever.
Point for Lindsay. Yeah, Tamina won. I know, we're all shocked.
At least she looked badass doing it.
She did. And we should quote Omega. Let me scroll up and quote Omega.
Quote the Omega?
Yeah, we gotta quote the Omega on this one for Alicia Fox's outfit. What did he say? Oh, good. I always wondered what La Parka would look like with tits. Well done, Omega. Well done. Up next on our program, we have John Cena.
Everybody take a shoddy side.
John Cena says he's been in WWE for 10 years now. He's never... and he's never been interrogated to the degree he has over the AJ affair. He's main evented, you know, with Shawn Michaels and Triple H and The Rock at WrestleMania. This brought out Vicky Guerrero. Vicky warned Cena that the world will come crashing down on them. Because of their relationship, she brought a him a gift, which was matching bathrobes.
I was kind of hoping it was a box full of condoms, but...
Well, if they're having, you know, this affair, you would think that would work for them, not bathrobes.
Well, I get the bathrobe reference, because she went to his room in a bathrobe,
yeah,
and then he was in a towel.
Yeah,
but,
you know, still would have worked the other way. But, you know, gotta keep it PG. She pointed out how AJ has damaged other wrestlers and how she's unstable. Vicky talked about what happened with Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, Kane. This then brought out AJ. Vicky asked if she's going to deny that, you know, that AJ acted like a lovesick puppy whenever a guy said hi to her backstage. AJ said Vicky was right. She has had past issues with men, but she's trying to become a better person. AJ said she had Vicky to thank for not having to be the general manager anymore. She now can date whoever she wants and do whatever she wants. She showed what she could do, you know, by, you know, touching John Cena, slapping on ass, and then started to give him a kiss, but Vicky, you know, started screaming before that could happen.
I will say her slapping him on the ass was a nice touch, especially when he dropped the mic.
Yeah, it was good.
Comedic timing.
It was well done. How about that? John Cena, yeah. Comedic timing. Who knew? AJ said Vicky can't do any of those things anymore. It's a shame because being the boss is the only way she can land a man. Ouch. AJ said... what were you going to say?
I just said nice shot.
AJ said that she's not a lovesick puppy anymore, and there's only one female dog in the ring. Out came Dolph Ziggler. Dolph said, well, while this episode of Jerry Springer Show was entertaining, he needed a break to break up the head party. Ziggler said he tackled Cena through a bathroom wall, and Cena just took it. Ziggler said Cena attacked him from behind on SmackDown and questioned why he would resort to such a cowardly tactics. Ziggler questioned why Cena would do it, and then there's been something eating Cena up inside. He said that when Cena kissed AJ last week, Cena knew that AJ was thinking about Dolph Ziggler the entire time.
Bullshit. Bullshit.
Cena replied he started to get revved up to go after, you know, he started to get revved up after to go after Ziggler, but Vicky cut him off and said he would find out who is better by having the two men face off later in the program.
Which, why would you give this match away for free?
Because they knew that it was going to be another Cena kill job.
Or they have other plans for the pay-per-view.
They must, because they were building, it seemed like they were building towards Cena Ziggler, and then
it's going to be the awesome matchup of Cena and AJ versus Dolph and Vicky.
And what, a bathroom match?
Because that's going to rate higher than a one-on-one.
Yeah, probably.
By the way, can I just for one moment
hijack the show?
I'm hating this storyline completely now because, well, AJ doesn't even really seem crazy anymore, so they've completely killed off that interesting part of her character. Now she's just another love-struck schoolgirl for John Cena.
I think we may get some crazy back. Hopefully.
I don't know.
I doubt it. And considering that she's bounced around from Daniel Bryan to Kane, why couldn't she go back to Kane?
Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for, like, this plot twist with her to where she's not dating Cena or she's not with Cena. She's with someone, and it doesn't have to be Kane, doesn't have to be Daniel Bryan, although I would laugh my ass off if it was Kane. But it's not John Cena. I'm, like, waiting for that plot twist, and I don't think we're going to get it, where we find out whose hotel room it actually was. That's
the
only
all
thing.
All that's pretty much dead now.
I know, which it's like you've wasted all of our time with this high school bullshit to get to Cena Ziggler, which is to what we were all figuring you were going for, and then you give it away for free on Raw, instead of doing it on the pay-per-view, and that just dawns on you that, oh shit, that means there's more to this building towards TLC. Why? What the fuck is the point of the storyline right now? It has no direction. None. Whatsoever.
I don't have an answer. I was trying to figure out one. I don't have an answer at this point.
Of everything they are killing on that show right now, why the hell can they not kill this storyline? Why? I mean, anyway, just move on because I'm going to get angrier.
Well, imagine Wade Barrett in his jeans.
Oh, that was a beautiful moment. Actually, that's on TV right now. Hold on, let me check.
Because up next, it's Tensai taking on Kofi Kingston with Wade Barrett on commentary.
Oh, it's up next. Yes, I get to see Wade in his jeans twice.
Anyway, about this match. Tensai.
No, you don't have to say anything about this match. Lindsay's already said it.
Wade Barrett plus jeans equals awesome, and with the IC belt, yes. Yes, yes, I want this. Make this happen.
We will get Kofi Kingston versus Wade Barrett for the Intercontinental Championship at TLC.
Yay!
Meanwhile, Kofi beat Tensai. They made Tensai look stronger than he should, because, well, they're not doing anything with him. After the match, Barrett handed Kofi the title and walked away confidently.
And it was so pretty.
Up next, we went backstage to our favorite anger buddies.
Yes.
Like me, I have proof.
You have proof. What proof? I'm going to win.
Kane, this is not my opinion. I have empirical polling data.
What are you talking about?
Allow me to show you. Look. You see all these states colored in blue? Those are the states that have voted for me. The states colored red are the states that voted for you. I'm sorry, but it doesn't look like any states have voted for you. But luckily, the voting is global. So let's look at the rest of the world. Oh, look at that. I'm winning the rest of the world, too. Unfortunately, they don't have polling data in hell. So maybe you're winning there.
How about I send you there so you can find out for yourself?
Excuse me, gentlemen. Gentlemen, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's time to reveal the results of the Raw Active Poll to find out which one of you will face WWE Champion CM Punk tonight on Monday Night Raw.
Looks like your data was skewed. Red rules!
Well, as you can see in the background there, Kane...
Daniel, although you didn't win the Raw Active Poll, I'm getting information right now that you do have a match on Monday Night Raw. For the first time ever, Daniel Bryan faces Rey Mysterio, and that match is right now.
Right now?
Pulling 101 with Kane and Daniel Bryan.
This made me laugh on so many different levels.
Explain.
Well, if you know anything about Kane, which I'm sure a lot of people may or may not, if you know his political affiliations, that's what, one, made this funny. Two, Utah is a red state. Fuck you, Daniel Bryan. And, yeah, it was mainly the political affiliations of Kane that just made this hilariously funny, at least to me. And, of course, you know, WWE Daniel Bryan is trending on Twitter, and Kane wins.
Yeah, let's go to our...
Yeah, I was going to ask about Kane's political affiliation when it came up. It's like,
Yeah, he leans that way.
He is a staunch, and I mean staunch, libertarian. So, the fact that he's red...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's go to our polling analyst, Mace, one final time for how they rig polls. Mace.
Let's see. We now have clear indication of what the fuck happens. Mostly involving the fact that we have And also my brain's gone blank. Daniel Bryan was trending on Twitter, which means he had a lot of votes.
Mm-hmm.
Kane was not trending on Twitter, which means he did not have a lot of votes. Kane won. How?
Why? Do not underestimate the power of the fangirls.
But if they were so powerful, they would have been trending.
I never said we were that good.
So yes, Kane wins the poll, but we get a great matchup. For the first time ever, one-on-one on Monday Night Raw, Daniel Bryan and Rey Mysterio.
It was a good match.
This was good. Very enjoyable.
And Rey's a tiny-ass motherfucker. Seriously, Daniel Bryan was bigger than him.
Yeah. These two, they started slow, but put on a really, really good match. And it was the start of really good matches.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, Rey Mysterio ended up winning when he did the 619 around the ring post and hit the splash for the victory. Backstage, Rosa thanked Del Rio for taking care of Carly and Hornswoggle earlier, and his response was, whatever you need, and then winked at her. Matthews interviewed Dolph Ziggler. He talked about how Cena is preoccupied with an obsessive, weak, narrow-minded, attention-craving nutcase. And he said he would basically beat John Cena tonight. We then had a recap of last week on Raw between Dolph and AJ, which leading to Dolph Ziggler taking on John Cena. In what was another good match.
This should have gone on pay-per-view. This just so should have gone on pay-per-view.
Now the problem with the match. John Cena won.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although Dolph looked fantastic in this match, and it was a great, great match.
It goes to show that there is money between those two.
Mm-hmm.
They just need to know how to capitalize on it properly.
And hopefully they will.
No, they won't.
I know. I said hopefully. Doesn't mean they will. Cena, you know, injured himself and went to the outside of the ring. They had even a trainer check on him at ringside. This would have been the perfect opportunity for Ziggler to steal a win. He grabs the briefcase. We had AJ yell at Ziggler, and then Vicky came out. They were at each other's face. Ziggler had the briefcase, goes to swing, miss, and then we hit the attitude adjustment for the victory. Would have been a great opportunity. Great opportunity. For Cena to take the loss with the briefcase shot and stuff like that. It would have been great. It would have, and then when we got to the pay-per-view, you could have done a rematch and Ziggler could have lost that one. And he would have been okay. But yeah. I don't know. Kind of disappointing. It makes everything they did last week kind of pointless.
Well, this is the WWE, remember.
I know.
Pointless is one of their main deals.
I know, because to them, victories don't matter.
Exactly. Because they're stupid.
And Lindsay's quiet because Barrett's probably on the TV right now.
Yes, why Barrett is on my TV right now. No, I mean, it was... Again, I don't understand why this did not end up on pay-per-view.
Right.
It should have. It really should have, because they gave us a really great match. And it's just, I'm sitting there watching and going, this is fantastic. And I enjoyed the hell out of it. And that's the first time I've enjoyed a John Cena match in quite a while. And it's just like, God, why, I wish this was on pay-per-view right now.
And to continue our string of good competitive matches, up next, United States Champion Antonio Cesaro takes on Sheamus.
This was good as well.
And the thing about it, all three matches were different styles.
Yeah.
And that was really good. And Cesaro looked really good manhandling Sheamus at points in this one.
They looked evenly matched.
You can tell there's something, they have something in Cesaro.
Well, it's Claudio Castagnoli. If anybody can pull a good match out of somebody, it's him.
True, but you can just tell that there's potential there for him to be a star in the company.
Which means he'll never be one because he'll get too pussy-footed and not pull the trigger.
Probably, but there's potential. And they did the right thing. They did not let him lose by pinfall or submission to Sheamus.
No.
They gave him a count-out finish, which was perfect for this. The U.S. champion should not take the clean loss to a number one contender. Like Sheamus is for Big Show. Big Show came out while the referee was counting. And then, after that, he started, you know, beating up a chair.
How the fuck did he not break his hand punching that chair? That had to hurt like hell.
Oh?
I don't know, but he tried breaking it fully with his hand, and it kind of didn't work. He tried, though. But yeah, Sheamus, at one point was, you know, Show has been telling people he'll be champion until he retires, so he'll be happy to retire him at the pay-per-view. So we get more build-up for their chair match at TLC.
At least this one feels like it matters.
Yep. We had a recap of WWE Overseas a little bit. Because they're on a goodwill tour are Vince, Miz, R-Truth, Eve, and Layla, which is why none of them were on the show tonight. Which gave someone an opportunity to wrestle a match. That would be Zack Ryder as he took on Damian Sandow.
In another good match.
Good match. Ziggler, the Ghostbuster.
I know. So awesome.
But in the end, he falls to the defeat of Damian Sandow.
Pants. I changed my mind. I don't want CM Punk. I want Wade Barrett's pants. Those are easier to attain.
Okay. Backstage, Josh Matthews interviewed Paul Heyman, who was clutching the WWE Championship. Heyman noted that Punk has been champion for 372 days, and he just passed Randy Savage. Basically, Heyman was a little bit worried, but, you know, they were disrespecting CM Punk with this match tonight. Solid promo. Then we got a recap of the promo we saw earlier between Ambrose, Rollins, Reigns, and then we got set for our main event. Kane versus CM Punk.
By the way, speaking of Kane, the promo is on for the Red States, Blue States, and all I can say about Daniel Bryan's beard is, oh my god, it's so fluffy!
So we had a main event, Kane and CM Punk.
Good match.
I would say it's the weakest of the four matches. The big four matches of the show.
Yeah.
But that's okay. Doesn't take anything away from it on a normal night. This would have been a good match.
It's kind of one of those where it's, we've seen it before. We've seen it in the last 6 months, and we know it's a throwaway.
Right.
So, and Kanan went out there and did his job, which is he got his ass beat by the Shield.
Yes, after Punk beat Kane with the GTS, when the Shield came at ringside, they jumped him and they beat him down. Daniel Bryan came out for the save. He's saving his, you know, saving his partner. He got beat down, and then came out the Ryback. Ryback stormed to the ring. Punk hopped the rail and ran away, while the other three men jumped Ryback. This time, Ryback got control, till CM Punk ran back in and jumped Ryback from behind. Ryback had Punk up for a powerbomb, but Reigns speared Ryback. And then the three members of the Shield put Ryback down with a triple powerbomb. We had a stare down between Punk and the Shield. They left. Punk stood on the Ryback once again with his title belt held high up in the air.
To which I say, fuck you, Ryback. Kane doesn't need you to save him, but whatever.
This was effective again. They're doing the right thing with the Shield.
They are. And I absolutely loved how Punk bailed when Ryback came out and just jumped. And I mean, like, took a nice leap over.
He did.
The barricade.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, are Kane and Daniel Bryan still the tag team champions?
Yes, they are still the tag team champions.
Then why didn't they have the belts tonight?
Punk, Bryan did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't come out with it.
He was holding the belt. Just wait. He had it.
He didn't walk out with it, because I'm watching the match right now. He didn't wear it to the ring.
I swear he had it with him.
Nope, I'm watching it right now. He doesn't have it right now. So unless Kane, unless they had it at ringside.
I swear I saw him clutching the belt.
Maybe at the end of the show, but not during his match.
Huh, okay. But yeah, they are the tag team champions.
Well, one of them is. We just don't know which one is right now because they didn't tell us.
Yeah, they didn't tell us tonight. So, Mace, do you have a rant about the tag teams or something?
No.
You good?
No, my thing was more about the AJ storyline where she's not with Kane.
Oh, okay.
Like she should be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was 3 hours of Monday Night Raw, and it didn't feel like 3 hours.
No. Didn't feel like 3 hours, but then again, I was also doing other stuff.
Well, that could have been too, because I was watching the Eagles game as well, so.
It always helps when you have a backup program to watch.
This is true.
One thing I have to say is that the show had a different feel than it normally does, especially when they hit that second hour, and they started to hit their stride in that second hour going into the third hour. Everything had a great flow. The show made sense. The show had that nasty, dirty word that the WWE hates called logic. And it all worked. It didn't have that sophomoric quality to it that it's had in recent weeks. To which I say, Vince McMahon, go on vacation more often.
Yeah, Vince McMahon was in Iraq, so someone else was left in charge tonight.
And it showed. It basically, you figure this was the script they went into the show with on Friday, probably with minor tweaks, but this is what they came up with without the show being rewritten that day.
Or not many changes made to it. The plot line stayed the same.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had to go back and look at Raw. They brought him his belt.
They brought him his belt?
Because you'll see after commercial, Bryan has his belt.
Oh, he forgot it backstage.
Yeah.
Go, Daniel!
But you'll see, when they come back from break, he's holding his belt. I knew I saw the belt tonight. Okay, so at least that's cleared up. He had his belt. I knew I wasn't crazy.
Well, you are crazy, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, I know. So that's 3 hours of Monday Night Raw, and that was the Raw post-show, unless we have anything else we want to discuss tonight.
I kind of want to hear the rant. No. I kind of want to hear the King.
Unless we're going to get a Rock ranting on Philly.
No rant. It's just depressing.
You know what the worst thing is? He's going to start the second we go off the air.
No, he is. No, I'm not. Honestly, I'm not. Yes, you are. No, I'm not.
You always do.
It's not a rant. It's just depressing. Just watching the game, it's depressing.
I wouldn't mind hearing the AJ Kane rant.
Well, there's not much to it. It's pretty much... Here it is. They put AJ in a situation where she's literally saying, I can now go and screw anyone I want. I can do whatever the fuck I want. I don't have any responsibilities, nor do I have people watching me 24/7 with everything I do. So why all of a sudden switching to, now I want to have a relationship with Cena? Instead of, you know what, now's the perfect time to maybe go and finish that storyline that I used to have with Brian and Kane, you know? And as usual, WWE goes, the storyline, don't need to finish those. So we're left once again with, you know, stupidity.
Well, the easy tie-in would be John Cena fucks her over.
And she goes crazy.
The Boy Scout?
Yeah, not going to happen.
The Boy Scout breaks her heart.
Yeah, the Boy Scout breaks her heart.
And she ends up with Ziggler.
Mm-hmm.
Or she goes to Kane and Bryan.
I doubt it. I think in the long term, her association with those two is pretty much gone.
Yeah, I think we're done. Yeah. I think we've moved on from that.
My hopes are fading on that, but I was kind of hoping at least when she got removed as GM and she went batshit crazy. It's like, oh, this is like the perfect excuse to stick her in anger management with Dr. Shelby and then you stick her with Kane and Brian.
But they've also kind of dropped Dr. Shelby.
Bring back Dr. Shelby! They need him!
Pretty much.
Oh, and just to back up to the Eagles stuff, thank you, Twitter. Over the last two seasons, the Eagles ranked last in the NFL in turnover margin at -31.
Well, they really want to piss you off, huh, Rock?
Thank you, ESPN Stats Info. Thank you very much.
We'll just tweet them like I tweeted US Airways, and they may respond.
It's just depressing. Anyway, tonight's Raw wasn't depressing, so...
Tonight's Raw was good.
Oh, King Kids brings up something. I want to mention this. What was up with Rey Mysterio's red beard?
I don't know. I guess he was coordinating to his outfit.
But he was wearing black and white.
Channeling his inner ginger.
No, his mask had red on it, and Brian was wearing black, white, and red. They were color coordinated.
It's another color theme month in the WWE.
Do wrestlers do that intentionally? I'm just curious.
No. But then again, we're talking WWE versus Indies, which is completely different. Like, two completely different dynamics.
Jesus, how did Raid not pop his kneecaps on that move?
Because he has none left.
Yeah, you gotta have knees in order to pop them.
So, that's 3 hours of WWE Raw, and this was Mace's final Raw post-show.
Huzzah! I'm free!
Yeah, in about 2 weeks from now, you'll be like, fuck, well, I missed talking to those guys.
You still have to pre-record stuff and send it to us so we can hear from you.
It'll happen. It'll happen. I've done that before with entire conversations.
I know.
It always happens.
When you do.
It's always. Mace will still be here. Even though he's leaving us from live radio, he will still be with us in spirit.
And in video game playthroughs at some point.
Yes.
Remember, I still get 2 days off a week, which means that I do have opportunities to sit there and play Left 4 Dead and stuff like that.
Yes, he does. So, let's wrap up this show. Tomorrow night, it's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik and the Spud Guy at 9 p.m. Eastern. Have you told him yet?
Yeah, I told Spud today.
How did he react? Alright, we'll save that till we get off there. Anyway, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern with Christopher Daniels and Naftali. Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's The Rack at 11 p.m. Eastern. Right, Lindsay?
Right! Where I will not be drunk or have a turkey hangover, and we'll talk all about this week's Impact and other shit that we come up with. So send us topics, please, because we have nothing.
Media at wildtalkradio.com or twitter.com/wildtalkradio or leave it on the Facebook page. We will answer your questions on the program. Friday night, it's the Wake Up Call with Gianna Cashmere, 9 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, midnight-ish. What I'm going to say is the final Mace live show, if he shows up to it. Yes? No?
We shall see.
Stay tuned. You never know. Mace farewell coming soon. Yeah, join us for that show, because on that show we will hear from somebody who will be coming back from his first match in a few years as he returns to IPW Hardcore Wrestling this Friday night, this Saturday night, in St. Petersburg, Florida. Check out facebook.com/IPW Hardcore Wrestling for details on how you can go see the show. And you'll hear more about it from Alan tomorrow night on Kayfabe. Sunday night, it's Wrestling Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. Join Tim Stein and Omega as they talk pro wrestling. We'll be back next Monday night for another edition of the Raw Post Show. You can catch all of our programming live on the TuneIn app. Just download it for your smartphone. Just search out Wild Talk Radio Network. You can download the Stitcher app, get our podcast on there on your smartphone, or you can go to the iTunes Store. Just type in Wild Talk Radio Network. We're in the iTunes Store.
Woohoo! Look, Mom, I'm on iTunes.
Woohoo! So yeah, plugs go. Either one of you.
At the Mace Thing. Follow me at the Mace Thing. That's it.
Lindsay.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linz Ward, LNSWRD. You can go to my DeviantArt, linzward.deviantart.com. You can go to Psych Ward Designs, check that out, and of course go to CassidyRiley.net and buy his shit. And listen to The Rock on Thursdays and all the other fine programming on this network.
Remember to visit tweakedaudio.com. Use the promo code WildTalk to save 33% off your order. So, for Mace for the final time on The Raw Post Show and for Lindsay Ward, I'm Sir Rock, and we'll see you next Monday night for another edition of The Raw Post Show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Right here along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network on WildTalkRadio.com.
Go Falcons, go Falcons! It's all right.
WildTalkRadio.com.